It's time for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Welcome to today's episode of The Coaching Perspective. I wasn't too sure with that pause whether the producer knew who was on or not, but hey, he's just keeping me sharp. It's the beginning of a new month. Well, I'm your host, Doug Gefeller, and we're going to be talking about business coaching sacred cows today. Well, that sounds like fun. Well, if you're listening to the show live, then hey, you know you're on octalkradio.net. If you're listening to our podcast, then where were you when the show was live? But hey, thanks for visiting our website, The Coaching Perspective. While you're there, be sure to check out our radio show archives for other great shows with some very interesting guests that we've had on in the past. Well, look, before we start, let me just tell you that we at The Coaching Perspective, we have been coaching executives and business owners for 18 years under the banner of The Coaching Perspective. We're helping to create more effective teams as our primary focus, and we work with both existing and new management teams and project teams. In all cases, our goal is to increase the productivity of the team and the individual team member. In addition to the teamwork, we also offer individual coaching from the top executive to the newest entry-level position. We offer coaching for people who want to sharpen their business skills and communication workshops. In case we get cut off here today, let me make our announcement right now at the beginning of the show, because you don't want to miss this. Next Thursday, a week from today, November 8th, is the monthly Orange County ICF, International Coaching Federation, meeting. And the title for the show is Your Blast-Off Blueprint to a Seven-Figure Coaching Practice. In this powerful and an inspiring presentation, CEO, mentor, and serial entrepreneur Allison Maslin will share her six-step strategy that she has used to grow 10 successful businesses from the ground up, yielding millions in revenue. You hear that? Millions in revenue. And this is the key, while continuing to live a healthy and wealthy personal life. She'll share the exact roadmap to run your coaching practice as the CEO, the leader, and the visionary that you're meant to be by taking bold, courageous steps necessary for the giant rewards. Be sure to check out the website, because this month the Orange County chapter is holding its meeting at a new location, the Posh Restaurant in Irvine. I don't want to take a chance. I don't think I have the directions here. But anyhow, go to the coachesfororangecounty.com, and you can find the website, and you can find out all the information and pre-register. But, hey, if you're one of those who always registers at the door, likes to pay an extra $5, just remember the door's in a different location this month. It's not at the Back Bay Club. It is at the Posh Restaurant. Well, look, those are our basic housekeeping events. Let's get into today's show, which I've titled Business Coaching's Sacred Cows. Well, what do I mean by that? You know, as I worked on this, it was not an easy thing. It was an easy title, an easy concept, but not easy to prepare because, hey, guess what? After doing this for 18 years, those sacred cows, those things that we take for granted, those assumptions that we assume are here to stay forever, you know, they're so ingrained into my way of thinking that I'm afraid I'm not even aware of them all. So as we go through this today, I would love it if you think of some things that we haven't covered. Hey, drop me an email. Go to our website and make a comment there, or call in to Orange County Talk Radio, or just drop me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, you know, let's start at the beginning in terms of chronologically the process. I mean, you start with a selling process in coaching, maybe in any business. And the assumption that we all work from is that you need to explain what coaching is and how we do it to the prospects that first time that you meet them. You know, when was the last time that you took your car in to be serviced and the mechanic started to explain to you what tools he was going to use and how he was going to go about fixing your car or giving it the service. You really didn't care, you know? You really didn't care about that at all, and neither do our prospective coaching clients. They don't really care, at the beginning at least, how we do what we do. What they want to know is, what problem of mine are you going to solve? You know, who are you and what do you stand for? People want to do business with people who share the same values. You know, and that's such an easy statement to be made. And I'm not talking about the value statements that companies work on when they're doing their strategic planning that sort of get written up and put in a drawer or made into a big poster and hung from the wall. I'm talking about those values that you show your clients, your prospects, you show the world on a daily basis. And what are those values? You know, for coaches, those values might be curiosity. It might be being a great listener. It might be the ultimate in terms of integrity, protection of confidentiality. It might be caring for the other individual more than anything else. You need to think about what are the values that you have that you need to show so that people who have the same values are attracted to you. You know, think of this kind of a mismatch. Think of the business coach who is a well-balanced individual who cares as much about his client's personal life as he does about their business life, who wants to see them enjoy a well-balanced environment between business and between personal, and match that person up with a client who is a type A, care less about the family. All I care about now at this point in my life is making more money, and I'm going to work 100 hours a week, and the family, well, after I make the next million, then I'll have time to spend with the family, and they'll forgive me for all the things I'm not doing now. Those are two extreme different sets of values. That is probably not going to work between the coach and that client because, first place, that potential client isn't going to be attracted by that coach's values because they're so different from his. Now, the exception is if that client has recognized that he's one of the things he wants coaching on is to change those values. But you need to think about what are the values that you bring and how do you show those? Another way of putting it, maybe a different term but the same idea, is what purpose, you know, what is the purpose of your coaching? Purpose is about the difference you're trying to make in the marketplace and in the world. And if everybody is selling the same thing, what's the tiebreaker? It's your purpose. And what I'm talking about there is your purpose just to get more clients? Is your purpose just to make more money? That isn't going to attract people to you. You know, if your purpose is to ensure that your clients, your business clients, have a well-rounded life, business and personal, that's going to attract clients that are looking for that kind of thing. If your purpose is to show your clients how they can work in a stress-free environment, then you're going to attract people who are interested in that. You need to identify what your purpose is so that you can figure out how do I communicate that in terms of values? How do I demonstrate that so that I attract people who have that same thing? The example that you find in all of the textbooks is Apple. You know, Steve Jobs was not about making the world's cheapest computer. You know, what was the number one priority for him in his work, whether it was on the Macs or whether it was on the tablets or whether it was on the iPods? The number one thing that ruled everything else was design. He was an absolute fanatic about functional and aesthetically pleasing design. So who did he attract to buy his products? People who wanted to buy something that was cutting edge in terms of design. You know, if I'm looking at computer specs and I'm searching the internet and I'm comparing the latest Dell computer against the latest Apple computer, I haven't done this in a long time. I used to be a big Dell fanatic. Now I'm a Mac fanatic. But there was a time when I did this, and Dell always won. You could always get the exact same specs cheaper. But the Dell computer looked like every other computer. The Apple computer, because of their purpose, the purpose being aesthetic design, distinctive, clean, simple designs, functional, it attracted people who that was important to them, and they were willing to pay a little bit more for a computer. So as a coach, what is the purpose about what you're doing that is different from every other coach? This is not an easy question to answer. It's going to take some thinking, some introspection, and let me say it's going to take some brainstorming with people who know you, who can see your purpose many times much clearer than you probably see it yourself. So think about what that purpose is. You know, the purpose that I would say for me, my purpose is helping my clients to identify their goals and then achieve them. And I don't confine it to business goals, even though I'm typically labeled as a business coach, because those goals may not be just business. In fact, I hope they aren't just business. And I'm very concerned that my purpose isn't just for them to achieve their goals. My purpose is for them to identify their goals. The implication being that many of us haven't spent enough time thinking about what it is we really want out of life. And if we knew what we really wanted, it would be so much easier to get it. But we spend so much time working on getting things that aren't what we really want that once we've got them, we find there's no long-term satisfaction in it. And then we get back on the treadmill and we start that all over again. So identifying purpose is really, really key here. And I think before you can begin to sell, before you can have that conversation with a prospective client, don't sharpen your presentation to tell them more about how you coach. Sharpen your presentation to tell them why you're coaching. Why are you in this business? What is it you want to do? And this works in any business. We're talking about coaching today, but hey, it can work in whatever you're doing. Well, the next sacred cow that I want to kind of look at is, what is it that you're really selling? Are you selling coaching? Or are you selling a solution to a problem? Or are you selling a method of problem solving? I think it's very important to identify the distinction between those things. If I'm selling coaching, then I'm just selling, I want you to sign up and engage with me on a regular recurring basis that you pay me for, and that's a successful engagement. But that's not what I'm selling. I'm not selling just that kind of coaching. Am I selling a solution to a problem that you come to me and as a business owner, you tell me that I need some coaching because, you know, I'm having trouble with my vice president of distribution, and I need you to coach me, maybe coach him or her also, so that we work together better and we have less problems and we communicate, we understand better, and we're able to work in a friendly, productive environment. Solve that problem. Is that what I am selling? Am I selling them the solution to that problem, to that issue between two individuals in the company? I don't think so. I think that what I'm really selling is a method of solving that problem, because my experience tells me that as soon as I help them solve that problem with the vice president of distribution and I go away because the assignment is done, within the next 12 months, they're going to be having a similar issue with the vice president of production or the vice president of the warehouse or somebody else. You know, it's the age-old story. Do you give a man a fish or do you teach him how to fish? And I think what the coaching is all about, what my purpose in coaching, my purpose is to help them identify a method of solving the kinds of problems that they've brought to me to deal with in this coaching assignment. The problem may be one, or the method might be one of learning how to manage your time better. The method might be one of learning how to get clarity in communication. It might be a method of learning how to conduct a meeting and get input in a more productive manner. Whatever it is, we're going to work on trying to identify a method so that when we work to solve this problem that created the coaching engagement, we not only solve the problem, but we identify what created the problem, what contributed to the problem, when is this problem likely to ever occur again in the future? And if so, knowing what we know now today, how would we go about preventing or solving that problem if it happens in the future? To me, that is the real impact of coaching. It isn't just providing a place for people to talk, and it isn't just solving one specific problem. You know, I think that one of the things is, you know, there's a lot of coaches the same way there's a lot of people selling boats. There's a lot of people selling. One of the things that you have to do is you have to stand out from the crowd of people who are offering the similar service or the same product that you're offering. And how do you do that? You do that by having a truly distinctive set of ideas. Ideas, methods, theories, practices, procedures, whatever you want to call them. Every good coach has a system of working with their clients that they follow that is a little bit different from what everybody else is doing, because they have found out what works best for them, what works best with the kind of clients that they're dealing with. You know, another sacred cow that has always kind of bothered me here is the idea that you need to offer a free session to get them to taste the candy. I mean, all I can think of with this free coaching session is sort of the schoolyard dope dealer that hands out the samples to the kids to get them hooked on it. As if we're going to give somebody a free coaching session, and that's going to then hook them into signing up for a year's worth of coaching or 90-day program or whatever it is that we're talking to them about. You know, one of the problems is that many times people perceive the value of something that they've never used before. So, in other words, if I'm going into the store and I'm shopping for a pair of slacks, I've got a difficult time knowing the difference between the different fabrics. So if I want a really good pair of slacks, I'm going to automatically assume that the more expensive pair is the better made pair. And if I want a really good pair, I'm going to look at the ones that are more expensive, assuming that that's where I'm getting the better made pair. If they're offering me these slacks for free, what have they just done to my theory about how to pick out something when I don't know how to determine the difference in the qualities between the offering? If it's free, it's got to be worthless. So I have a hard time with a coaching session that is free. Now, I will frequently coach people without charging them, but that's because we got into a coaching conversation. I have a client, a prospective client. Let me clarify that. A prospective client that I've been working with this company for over a year. And I have had a number of lengthy phone conversations and a number of lengthy meetings in their offices to talk about coaching and how coaching would work in their company, what the objectives would be, what is the system that I would employ, and how would we measure the effectiveness of that. Now, in doing that, did I do any coaching? Absolutely. Did I make a big thing of the fact this is a free coaching session and that's why you should invite me in? Never. Never. It was all part of the prospecting system. The fact that, you know, I'm more than willing to sit down and talk to you. Many times coaching clients for me start with somebody saying, so-and-so said I should talk to you. I'm not too sure. And before they can go much further, I've set up an appointment to sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. Because, and this is not me saying, let me give you a free coaching session. we are going to have a coaching session. It is going to be for free. But the way in which it's being presented is this is a chance for us to get to know each other and to figure out whether it's going to work. I think it says a lot more for the value of what you're offering. You know, another popular misconception is the fact that people think that selling is an activity. I want to say that prospecting is the activity. Sales are the results. And if you're going to be effective in prospecting, you need to be sure that you have got an automated system. I was talking this morning with an individual, and we were having a conversation about the reluctance of people to set up recurring, regular systems to do prospecting, whether it's prospecting over the phone through cold calling, whether it's prospecting by going out there and doing networking. But the idea is that we all know what needs to be done, but we leave it as the second thing we do after we've worked with our clients, which pretty much guarantees that we are busy with our clients until we don't have any clients, and then we get busy with the prospecting, which guarantees that you've got a lag time, a downtime with no revenue in between the peaks of being very busy with clients. So there's two things that I think are equal priorities, both of which you have to do to keep your business successful. One is prospecting all the time through some type of regular, recurring, partially automated system. And the second is staying in touch with the clients that you already have. I call this a SIT program, S-I-T, stay in touch program. You know, it is, I have a coach that I have been working with for many years, and we talk a couple of times a month. We have great coaching sessions, but I have to tell you that a couple of times a year, I probably, because of one situation or another, because I get busy or because I get to feeling cheap, I sit and think, do I really need to keep this coaching going? But this coach is really smart because on a frequent basis, this coach sends me an email telling me, you know, I really like having you as a client, Doug, and it's really been a pleasure. And I just wanted to recap for you the things that you've accomplished in the last 90 days, and then proceeds to remind me of all of the great coaching that this coach has done for me, the client. This is their Stay in Touch program. What is your stay in touch program with your existing clients? It isn't just doing the work and sending out the bills. It's something additional. It might be sending them information. Some people make a big thing of remembering everybody's birthday. They remember everybody's anniversaries, the kids' birthdays. Some people I know have this great way of finding articles that would be appealing to me and making sure that they send them to me so that I don't miss them. All of which just tells me, hey, they are thinking about me. I'm not just a source of revenue to them. So two things, prospecting, stay in touch program, both need to be set up. Both need to be, I'm going to say, automated. That doesn't mean that they are truly automated and there's no human touch. That would be wonderful, and some companies are able to do it. But they're automated in the sense that I know that once a week I spend an hour and I send out a custom email newsletter to my existing clients. Or once a month I sit down and I pencil a thank you to my clients about something. You need to look at both of those things. All right, another sacred cow. And this one I have heard talked about so many times, it's just unbelievable. Coaches never give advice, they just ask questions. Well, I can only tell you from a business coach's point of view, many times I am hired by a client because of my background. They hire me because, oh, you had a real estate company for 20 years, I've got a real estate problem, you're a coach, you probably understand the real estate language, and therefore, you've got an edge over other coaches that haven't been in the real estate business. Or, gee, Doug, you've started and developed four or five companies in your career. I'm thinking of starting a company. You would be a great coach, not only because you coach, but because you've started businesses and therefore. Now, if that's the reason they've hired me, which frequently it is, or the reason they've picked me over some other equally qualified coaching individual but doesn't have the background that fits the situation as well as mine might or yours, if that's the reason they've picked you, what do you think their reaction is when you're in a session and they go, well, what would you do in this transaction, Doug? Now, they assume that when they bought my coaching services, they also bought my brain and my experiences and my failures and my successes, and that I'm willing to share all of those with them. Now, coaches that are really good about this recognize that, hey, I'm crossing the line here from a coach to a consultant. And they're very careful about identifying that, okay, I'm going to tell you, Mr. Client, but I just want you to know I'm stepping out of my coaching role. I'm now stepping into my consulting role, and let me tell you what I would do in that kind of a situation. There's lots of ways to handle it. The worst way is to just not answer the question, unless answering the question is doing the work for the individual. You know, I liken this to the experience we've all had with our children of sitting there at the kitchen table and they want you, look, I've got this math paper. Can you figure out these problems? How much is this? What if you divide this number by this? What's the answer? And they just want you to give them the answer so they can write it in and be done with the homework and go on to television. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about giving people the answer by also showing them the process, how to do it. Another sacred cow that's coming into question a lot these days is coaching is done either face-to-face or on the phone. You know, there was a time when coaching was just done on the face-to-face, and then it got to be on the phone. How about both? I'm finding more and more frequently in my business coaching practice that a mix of face-to-face and phone coaching is really best for me and the client. You know, I like the pattern where once a month, if I'm doing weekly coaching, one of the sessions each month is a face-to-face. So there's that reacquaintance, that touch. It's not virtual anymore. It's real. And the other three sessions are done on the phone. I think each session is all sessions are equally effective regardless of the media that we're using, whether it's face-to-face or phone. But I think there's some additional advantages of the face-to-face that you can't have in the phone in terms of the social connection. But why limit ourselves just to face-to-face or on the phone? We can do both. How about group coaching? Why is it just one-on-one? There is nothing more exciting as a coach than to be coaching two people at the same time or more. It is not easy, but it is a great challenge. How about using Skype and adding to your phone coaching video? Does this get you closer to face-to-face? Does it add some additional value from the client's perspective? I'm not talking about adding value to what you're delivering in terms of the coaching message, but I'm talking about the added value of social human contact. You know, I go out of my way to go to certain Starbucks stores, not because their coffee is any better than the one down the street, but because of the interaction with the person behind the counter who remembers my name, who asks me about my dog or about my wife or whatever I'm doing. Hey, Doug, Sunday morning, you're on your way to church, huh? They know me. And that's what you want to do with your clients. You want to create an environment where they know you in addition to you just being effective from a business sense. How about coaching by email? Is it possible to coach without it being a on-time delivery of message and then response? Well, you know, if you think about what's necessary to have a coaching session, really it's pretty simple. The client must talk. The coach must listen. There's got to be some interaction. There needs to be a commitment, and then there needs to be follow-up. But nobody said these things have to happen all at the same time. If I can't hear the client if I'm talking at the same time. So really, the fact that there could be a delay via email or some other message delivery system doesn't mean that the coaching's totally wasted. We're getting to the end of what I could think of here. Coaching sessions are always scheduled. You know, I don't think that's true. some of the best coaching that I have done or that I have received has been impromptu. It's, we're having a cup of coffee. You know, I talked to a past client of mine this morning to just catch up and exchange what's new with you. And in talking about things, he did some fantastic coaching in terms of reminding me and making me see things differently than I saw him before that phone conversation. Was it a scheduled coaching session? No. Was it even supposed to be a coaching session? No. Was there coaching going on? Absolutely yes. So coaching is a way of communicating. It isn't a place. It doesn't have to have a label. And which gets down to the other thing of who can really do coaching. You know, can it only be done by trained, licensed professionals? You know, I'm afraid just based on my background, Italian mothers have got an edge on coaching. They were doing it long before anybody dreamed up the word coaching. It was just the way they brought up their children. Friends of mine say that, no, that's not Italian mothers. That's the Jewish mother syndrome. Call it what you like. Moms, wives, children, they've all been coaching other people since the beginning of time. Some of the best coaching I get today is from people way younger, whether it's children or grandchildren. It's them observing and seeing things that I don't see. That's what coaching is all about. They play back to me through a different set of eyes, the same thing that I'm seeing, but in a different way, which lets me draw different conclusions and come to a different and maybe better answer to the situation. You know, one of the sacred cows I want to end with here that I do not want to argue with is that coaching is confidential, and I have never seen a situation where it can be anything other than 100% confidential. This is the way it should be. Well, look, we've spent 30 minutes here. We've explored what I think are some of business coaching's sacred cows. I'm sure there's more. I'd love to hear from you. Drop me a line, Doug at the Coaching Perspective, and let's keep the dialogue going, and we'll get you on the air, or we'll get your comments on the air, and explore this. I'm sure there's lots of other opinions. I just want to say that be sure to tune in again. We're on the air live every Thursday, 4 p.m., right here on octalkradio.net. Look for our weekly newsletters that come out on Wednesdays to find out more about our guests for that Thursday. And if you're not going to, you know, listen to the show today, if you've got some other engagement and you can't make the Thursday 4 p.m., be sure to go to our website. It's always posted there as a podcast, and you can listen to it later at your leisure. So this is Doug Gefeller signing off. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. I hope that the discussion has provided you with new ideas and information that you can use to identify and achieve your goals. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the only show that looks at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach, Doug Gefeller.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481, or go to www.extendeddisc.com.